Welcome to the Perfect Pour Craft Beer Podcast.
Yay!
I am Mikey.
I am Matt.
And as you can hear from the lack of a beginning, Nick is vacant.
Yep.
Just see, everyone that wanted a weekly podcast, this is what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes somebody misses a week.
Yep. And it's like a new season. We haven't rewrote his character yet.
Yeah, who's... Game of Thrones followers know that there's a completely different actor playing a character this season. The same character, but it's a completely different actor playing it. An actor that doesn't even look at all like the other actor that was playing the character. So now we have to figure out who's going to replace Nick, because he's gone. We fired him.
Yep. That's it.
You're going to miss a week? You're fired.
Yep.
You continue to not get paid.
Yes.
go continue to not get paid. No. Nick has just gone for this episode.
Yep.
Which we'll just appreciate him even more now. Mm-hmm. next week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is episode 40 of The Perfect Pour. We're going to still, even without Nick, we're going to try and hang out and talk about craft beer for a little bit.
Yay.
We're here with the Bearded Brewer.
87.
Bearded Brewer 87. Mm-hmm. Who was on podcast, another craft beer podcast.
I was?
Yes. The recent episode of Growler Radio.
That I was. That went as terrible as I thought it would.
How so?
I was trying to be cool. But after I would... blurt something out, I'd be like, that's probably the dumbest thing I ever said.
Oh.
But
I listened to it. It sounded great.
Okay, then.
That's fine.
That's good. That means if I hated it, that means other people will love it. And that's all that matters.
That's probably what it means.
But I did enjoy being on another podcast. It felt like a little bit of cheating, yeah. But, you know.
Well, we've all done it now, so it's okay.
Yeah.
We've all cheated, so.
But he was praising me because I sent him good beer.
Yeah.
The show went longer than all the others, and I was kind of co-hosting him because McShane couldn't make that one.
Yeah.
So.
And he was really digging that Rush Hour from Tioga.
I think I might just, start using it for leverage. Be like, hey, let's send you down a Rush Hour.
Well, it's nice that Tioga can get now, you have something you can exchange, some mm-hmm. value
mm-hmm.
in exchanging.
Something of caliber.
The Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I think the DDH, that's cool that Tioga now has getting some street cred, that Rush Hour is getting some street cred outside of the valley, and mm-hmm. I know DDH was getting that as well before.
Yeah, DDH is definitely the most traveled brew of Tioga, but I think this Rush Hour can shake up some ground
too. Yeah, I can't wait to see that getting out there in the craft beer world. Before the podcast, we had our pre-beer was an IPA from Headlands Brewing up in San Francisco. Hill 88 double IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming it's a reference on the Headlands. Headlands are in Marin, which is north of the Golden Gate Bridge of San Francisco.
All right.
You always hear Marin County. That's what's on the other side of the bridge is Marin County. And that's the headlands or what you see when you're looking out from San Francisco on the other side of the bridge. So I had their stuff at the opening gala at San Francisco Beer Week. And I liked it. And I found this beer, which we'll talk about in a second, at a Santa Cruz area bottle shop, and
nice.
Had to get it, bring it back for the boys. But unfortunately, Nick doesn't get to try it.
Nope.
What did you think of that Hill, the Headlands Hill 88?
I enjoyed it because it wasn't like citrusy hoppy.
No.
And it wasn't super malty. So that's what I want.
Yeah, that's kind of like your. That's. It seems now I'm figuring out that's your IPA ground is the not citrusy but not malty,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the middle, and
yeah.
That's what it's that.
See, but this would be something I wouldn't mind having a 6-pack in the fridge. You know, pop one of these open. It's 8%. That's not bad.
That's pretty strong for an IPA.
Yeah, their labeling is interesting with it being a clear, polished.
Is it a double? No, it is a double. No, it is a double. I didn't really even realize that. It's really smooth for a double.
Yes.
The alcohol is pretty well masked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. There's no complaints about that beer.
All right.
None.
Zero. Headlands Hill 88 Double IPA gets the thumbs up from Perfect Pour.
Yep. Bring it to Fresno now.
Especially. Yeah. Let's get somebody to distribute Headlands.
Yep.
But now on the table. What do we have?
We have the Stone Self-Righteous Ale. This is not what I was expecting.
It's a bottle with the big gray gargoyle and the blue stone lettering. And I always hear about this beer, see it all the time, and I never get it because it's just not in the style. So this is why I like Perfect Pour episodes, because I get to try things I have never tried before, and I don't have to pay for them.
Yeah.
Somebody else, some other sucker does.
Yeah.
So it's a self-righteous ale.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? What a style is this exactly? Can pinpoint it more than ale?
I don't know. It's a deep red color if you hold it up to light. I haven't really read up too much about this beer, so I'm not even sure. Let's see.
Yeah, it is like a really dark red.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can barely see red, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like blood red.
Yeah, it's weird, though. It's not, like, overly hoppy. It's not malty. There's a slight bitterness to it. But I'm guessing this is just, like, a yearly ale from Stone. But, yeah. I mean, there's not much flavor going on there. So, it's good for a Stone beer.
Yeah.
It's just, it's real mellow and easy drinking.
Yeah, it's mellower than I was anticipating.
I mean, I figure I could get through a whole 22 of this as I knock shit over in the podcast
Knocked
room.
Knocked over the hill can.
Just destroying shit here since there's no other rules and boundaries.
Your big brother isn't here to scold you.
Yeah. Take that. He's probably going to leave us an angry voicemail.
He better.
Yes.
He misses a week. He has to leave a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we figure out this sublimely righteous self-righteous ale from Stone, we do have our voicemail streak continues.
What?
559-492-0542.
Yes.
We want all your voicemails about anything about the podcast or about what you're drinking. I want to hear somebody's, like, if they're drinking something interesting or anything that you feel relates to us.
Tell us the best kind of cream cheese for a bagel. I don't care.
If it pairs with a beer, then all right.
Yes.
But we got a new voicemail.
Hey there, Perfect Pour. This is Bert calling from Clovis. BC's Pizza, to be exact.
Bert.
Their 17th anniversary release party. We had free beer, free food, lots of beer, and some things that I've seen that I won't even mention on his line. I'll have to call back and call on another line from another podcast. But just kind of reporting in from Fresno, coming into Clovis. Good crowd, good beer. Very pleased, especially with the selection. You know, for the 17th anniversary for BC's, they toasted to the Firestone 17th anniversary release. So very good, very. I call it dessert beer. Tastes just like, you know, coffee, kind of almond joy flavoredness. It's awesome. Anyway, calling to say hi. First time caller, long time listener. Here's to everybody, Matt, Nick, Mikey. Bye.
Bert. So Bert Aguilar, Bert?
Yeah, Bert. He's a big craft beer nerd.
Yeah.
And he knows a lot more than I do, that's for sure. And he always run into him once in a while. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I know.
He's out there in the scene, the music scene and the craft beer scene.
Yeah, I know he was quite a bit into the electronic world, and he actually wanted to leave that to pursue beer and alcohol. So
pursue alcohol.
Well,
the pursue alcohol.
The making like or the selling.
Best idea ever.
Maybe not indulging, but making and selling.
All right.
I'm hoping he finds a little
Bert,
home.
Bert.
So, just the one voicemail?
That's it. But still, the streak is alive.
I like it. I'll take
so
it.
We want to hear what's going on. We've always so far our voicemails have been Central Valley people,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. But I would like to hear somebody outside of the Central Valley that listens.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It use your Google Voice, whatever. If you don't have long distance, you can get a hold of us somehow.
Yeah, use your Skype line to call our Google voicemail line.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Actually, you could call the Dorktown Skype line and leave a message, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're not going
to. Well, we just
Dorktown.podcast.
From the numbers, we know that there's some people outside the valley that could, you know, doing their part.
Yeah. I'd like to hear it. Because I know, like, that's what I always worry about with us is we're obviously going to be talking a lot about a lot of regional things and regional beers.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't mean it to be simply just Fresno, Central California. Mm-hmm. Podcasts, and I know it's kind of naturally gears like that. So hopefully people outside of the valley that drink craft beer that can mm-hmm. still dig us. I don't know. But so anyway, speaking of, I did have a little family/beercation.
Nice.
I melded last weekend, mm-hmm. went to the Santa Cruz area. Beach I actually never board, even got up to Santa Cruz. It's all south.
Mm-hmm.
In the Aptos area of...
They have something there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. They have a major craft beer nerd place, the Rustic, also known as Santa Andreas Rustic Ales, is in Capitola, which is right there. Aptos, Capitola, Silva Beach,
mm-hmm.
They're all right there.
Beautiful.
And they've got a little scene going on. Of course, led by Santa Adarius. And I got to check out a few places. And I went by the Rustic. And this is my friend, Aaron, that lives there. Mm-hmm. He turned me on that place when that first place first opened.
All right.
And it's been cool to see that place. Now it's becoming very well known in the craft beer geek circles.
Mm-hmm.
As of being a really good place,
this place a little bit hipster,
a little bit
was there before,
a little bit hipster now, but it's really, I mean, it's really popular now, so popular that they can't keep up with things. They're not, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have the capacity to keep up with their popularity right now. So much for it, though, that I went in there, like, they usually have bottles of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of not necessarily their IPAs, but of their Saisons and stuff. And then they'll have growler fills of everything else. And I went in there expecting to at least get a growler fill. And maybe I'll even get a bottle or something, even though that's not my style, the style of beer. But it's a coveted beer, so I could at least trade it, even if I didn't want to drink it. And
that's sad. I'm going to buy this.
So I go in there.
If I don't like it.
They're out of bottles.
What?
So that's fine. I was mm-hmm. like, just give me a growler of your... the 831 is their IPA, which is very excellent IPA.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of growlers. They physically don't have an instrument I can buy to put their beer in.
This is where you use your hands, right?
Yeah. They can only fill if I brought in a growler. Well, I was anticipating just buying one.
Mm-hmm.
And so luckily, Aaron, a friend I was with, had brought his growler just in case.
Nice.
And at least got to have the beer, bring it home, and got to have it at his place.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to bring it home, but so missed our opportunity there. But
forgive you this time.
They just came out with a new pail. They didn't even try because we just had all we had time for was to run in there and fill up a growler and leave. But look for them because they're going to continue to grow. And once I'm sure they're so popular now, I'm sure they're going to be expanding. They're on the cover of Beer Advocate like a month ago, so they're not. They're just going to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also got to check out a really cool place which needs to be in Fresno. Really, it's a place that would be successful anywhere. But in this area of the coast, you know, it's for those outside of California, the Santa Cruz area. It's south of San Francisco, so it's kind of it's its own community outside of the Bay Area, south of San Jose even. But it's still in that kind of Bay Area-ish, but it's also in the Central Coast-ish. It's like this sort of its own area. And so it's just the geographically, if you're trying to figure out where it's at. But there's this new place called Beer 30. It's a bottle shop / craft beer bar.
Do they open at 5:30?
I don't know. But their Beer 30 is, they have 30 taps. So that's their, where they get 30 from.
Okay.
And they have, instead of a chalkboard, which I love chalkboards, every craft beer bar should have a chalkboard.
They have
a digital board. They put some money into this place.
God damn. So like a little LED thing?
Yeah, it's like a whole digital board of all their taps they have going. And they've got the style of, they don't actually have the taps, the physical taps that come with the beer. Mm-hmm. They have the ones that are numbered, and it's all the same taps, and, you know, the little,
okay, yeah, the little steel, black handles, yeah, or whatever. Yeah,
it's got that going, but the number, everything's numbered to what's on the board. And then, right. So they've got everything on taps, pretty mostly kind of unique stuff. They've got, you know, a lot of local stuff, but then outside of the region too. And I actually had a, since we're last episode, we were talking about, well, I guess this is this, meh, I can wait till Ben caught drinking for this one, but so they had a lot of good stuff on tap. And then they also had the bottle shop in there too. So they had one little, kind of like a closet of more of the dark stuff. Nice. That wasn't refrigerated. And then they had a couple of doors of refrigeration. A lot of good stuff, mostly Bay Area stuff, which, you know, if you like Bay Area stuff, they had a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got the Headlands Brewing from.
Which makes good sense, and I praise you for that. That was a beautiful beer.
And so it was a really cool place. And not only did they have that part, they have a little bit of area inside to sit. You know, not a whole lot, but a little bit. But the outside is what's cool, the garden area. Mm-hmm. They have these maybe like two or three rows of these large picnic style tables that everyone just kind of sits at. Mm-hmm. You don't really get your own individual table. It's just one long table, a couple long tables. Everyone just kind of figures out how to sit.
Nice communal.
And communal style. And then they have a dog run. So you can bring your dog, put the dog in the dog run. If you trust your dog to not fight with another dog.
Yes.
So it's essentially a little dog park inside the beer garden. You dump your dog off there and just drink and socialize, and it's a really cool place. And it's right next to a farmer's market style place that has all kinds of fruits and vegetables and stuff. And they don't have food there, but you could just bring in any food you want to bring. Any one of those kind of places that they don't care if you bring food in there or something.
Yeah, see, that's one thing I like. Yeah, if they don't have food, they should allow you to bring food in.
Right.
And same thing, I think the next wave is going to be more dog-friendly places. It seems like people want, I mean, just like with craft beer lovers, they tend to have better dogs.
Yeah.
As in themselves, they're better people. So it's not like people bringing their pit bulls down to the, they're bringing their pointer hound or, you know, their golden lab that's just hella chill, that just wants to, you know. Doesn't want to be trapped at home. He'd like to go take a walk to the brewery and hang out, you know?
Exactly. So it was a really cool vibe, and that place was packed. We were there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were there till about 5, and it was freaking packed. Like, it was a Saturday, but still, it's just like, you know, expect something to be packed, you know, late in the afternoon, early evening, like that. But and it seemed, it wasn't, it was just continuous. It wasn't even like waves. It was constantly packed, and I was just like, this just would work anywhere. Doesn't matter. And if somebody just, and it wasn't that simple, it wasn't that complicated of a place either. I mean, it didn't look, even though they did it well and they did a nice job and everything was kind of like they built it from the ground up kind of style. They didn't just try to figure out how to make an old building work for them.
Yeah.
And it didn't look that expensive to have made or started, and it was a hit. So, I mean, I don't see why that can't work anywhere. Like, Fresno just keeps getting more of it. I mean, I know Tioga is going to have a beer garden tap room update.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a beer garden.
Beer garden.
Garten with a T.
Yes.
And then that'll make it legal. Like, you can get the permits if you call it a beer garden. Well, like, what's a carton?
It would have to be a B-E-I-R and then garden.
Oh, yeah. Yep. See, and that would work. And then you can get all the permits you want.
Yeah. So... Yeah, no, that's what's pushing forth, which it could work very well. It's just like you're talking about. It could be dog-friendly, bike-friendly, be super chill outside. You could.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit too much hipstery going on, but it's all right. I can handle a little bit of hipsteriness.
Yeah, and then, you know, the best thing about Fresno is if you put it right by that ballpark, you kind of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You could at least get the ambiance of the sound or something like that, you know.
So that was a cool place. We also went to another place that was craft beer friendly called Aptos Street Barbecue. Had some pretty good food. They had the blues guy just playing there. I guess they have music like every night.
Nice.
And they had a lot of beers on tap. They had roughly around 30 beers on tap. That was all, and it was all craft beer centric. It wasn't like beer. It was all craft beer kind of taps. And they had Figueroa Mountain heavily. They're going to have a Mountain tap takeover, like in a couple days from when I was there. So I've never seen a place do a Figueroa Mountain tap takeover, which is awesome.
Yeah,
they were going to have the head brewer there at the tap takeover. So
I'm jealous right now.
So that's pretty damn cool. I think we need to get Figueroa Mountain. I mean, we're a big market for them.
All right, bring it.
And then, you know, and the Rustic, and so it. It's just, I don't know, it's just a sign of the times. Like, every area now, it has its own craft beer scene, and yeah, I don't know.
It should.
Good stuff. Especially if it's a touristy area.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much guarantee you can find something craft beer centric.
It's almost like a constitutional right to have, like, a beer gathering area.
There was one thing at the bottle shop I saw at the Beer 30, where there's a beer I don't know if you've heard about it or not, a beer I've heard about a lot from 5050 Brewing in Truckee, the Bart, the real, aka the barrel aged, really tasty, and it's a strong ale. It's just called Bart.
I haven't heard of that one, but I mean, I do know of the brewery.
5050 in Truckee. And I was like, oh, I saw that. I was like, oh, sweet. I hear a lot about this beer. Here it is. Like, I'm getting this. I know it's not style I like, but I'm getting it let's get it for the boys, for us all to try.
Thank you.
Like, sweet. I pick it up, look at it, $25 bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I put it back down.
It's gonna be good, but I don't know if it's that good.
If we were getting paid for this and we could write off things, then I would probably not hesitate. But
market research,
we're not there. We're not at that point yet. So almost had a Bart beer, and I know I'm doing more research on it. And like a lot of people are like, "Oh, where did you know?" I can see, you know, buzz between people on saying Untapped and. It's like, oh, I can't believe it. You know, a lot of people just can't find it. And I was like, well, I had several I could have had, but
I had it in my hand.
It's $25, guys. Come on. Did you see that there was a Wall Street Journal? This I always like it when a mainstream media does a craft beer story.
What?
A Wall Street Journal did an article on this guy Bill Sysak. Sorry, Bill. He works for Stone, I believe, and he has a story on cellaring, basically collecting beer. He has 2,800 bottles cellaring.
I believe they call that hoarding.
Or hoarding, whatever you want to say.
Yes.
and it was pretty amazing, like, oh. 2,800 bottles he's aging.
I wonder if it's just
how could you ever get to that? Like, how could you ever drink There's no way.
It's a thing. There is a way, but there's probably no way that he's had all 2,800 beers. But
yeah.
I would see how it's possible to, you know, pick up 5 or 10 here. You know, over time you build up. But
yeah,
2,800. I don't have 2,800 of anything. Not dollars. So, like, not
he
shoes.
He can just have a couple beers a night, and it's gonna be a long time before he runs out.
It's probably like his retirement plan.
You could. That's the way I used to think when I collected baseball cards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I'll be able to retire off of this stuff. And then baseball cards fell through the basement.
Yeah, I have like a full box in my garage I need to do something with.
Give them to me. $5. I'll give you $5 for them.
No. There could be a lot of pointless cards in there. You could be getting ripped off.
Yep. We were talking about Nitro last episode, like I was saying, in a
Nitro only bar.
Old Chub Scotch Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Their Old Chub Scotch Ale, they're putting Nitro in their cans. Those cans.
Oh, so the you mean Oscar Blues?
Yeah, Oscar Blues is Old Chub.
That is a good beer. I was
they're gonna put start putting Nitro in them.
So
like, I don't know if they're gonna have like a Nitro version and the regular version, I assume. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get it or not. We get the Old Chub.
Mm-hmm.
But
that should be interesting because I can't think of too many canned beers that are craft that do Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're seeing, like we've talked about before, we're seeing an influx of Nitro'd beers by draft.
Right.
But I can't think of too many.
Yeah, craft beer and putting. So yeah, we were talking about the exact same, like, we were like trying to figure out why. I'm like, well, I guess it's too expensive to do or whatever. And here's Oscar Blues is doing it.
Yeah, they're just saying, screw you guys.
So you've been, this past week, you've been doing, you know, in the bar, been doing any educating? Can you think of an instance where you've done any craft beer educating on someone? Turned someone over? Turned somebody on to something lately?
Yes. Last night, I was at the Bare Hands show.
Oh, and Strummers?
Strummers. So the fellas and I, we walked over to DOS, and we were having some beer. And the tour manager for them, he was just like, pick me up a fruity beer. Because everybody's like, oh, let Matt pick your beers. Let, you know. So he's all, pick a fruity beer. And I went through their case, and I was trying to find something. And I was like,
At Strummers?
No. At DOS.
Oh, okay. We were at DOS. I'm sorry.
But, you know.
I missed that.
This was, well, I mean, Strummers has a decent selection.
You got their tour manager to go over to DOS?
Yeah, all the radio guys. And
they're pretty, I mean, I know I've heard of them. I don't know any of their songs, but they're a national band.
They only have one radio single, but I mean, they sold out Strummers, and they're on the uprise. They're going to play Outlands Festival. Okay. And so they're moving along pretty good. And so we're at DOS. I'm looking through the cases, trying to find a fruity beer. And usually, you know, with fruit, you end up with sours, you end up with wheat beers, and I wasn't finding anything. And then I remembered they had the banana nut bread beer.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, all right, guarantee you somebody from, you know, somebody that says, find me a fruity beer has not tried this. And so that's
right.
I explained it a little bit to him, and sure enough, he enjoyed it and thanked me personally for that pick. So
nice.
It was kind of like, hey, this is what you need to be doing.
This is what we're doing
mm-hmm.
here at the podcast.
And then the other fellows like encouraged him to get untapped and whatnot.
So, and it's like, oh, you got to go on untapped now.
And it's like, you get badges. And he's like, what?
Badges? Like, why is that something? I don't need no stinking badges.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
So
at Dorktown on Untapped, I'm at Dorktown.
Bearded Brewer 87. So that was my most recent edumacation of beer.
Nice. I always love to hear a good edumacation story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only is it time to get a new beer out, it's time to bang con drinking.
So,
what have you been drinking?
So, brother of mine, what have you been drinking this evening? Or in this past week?
I've been
Oh, okay, that sounds good. All right, so I'll go ahead and get to myself. So I haven't... this last week was the first time I stepped foot into the BevMo in Clovis. I wanted to see what it was like and, you know, see where craft beer goes to die in Clovis, as we like, as a reference of Tommy. I like that beverage is more a lot. It is so much better than the one in Fresno.
Interesting.
Whether,
like, I don't see why.
It's layout. It's not in River Park.
Well, that's, I like that part.
And when I was walking up to it, some guy's like, "Oh, hey, I like your truck. It has Tioga stickers on it." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you know, cool beer and whatnot." And
he's, it's
like,
a cool,
oh,
beer, I hear.
He's like, "Oh, I'm going to go buy some of that double dry hop Sherman." I was like, "That's cool."
You're all, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're all, I bottled it, but cool.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. I got a good feeling of there. But when I was roaming through, I couldn't really find anything too new or too crazy. And so it's like I went over and I was like, oh, cool. They had Son of Wrath. So I picked up one of those. And they had a Mission Amber. And I picked up one of those. So I decided to enjoy those two beverages in an evening. And that was wonderful.
And it was a wonderful evening.
Mm-hmm. Knee Deep has been showing up on draft in Fresno a lot more.
Oh, probably because our boy Randy.
Yeah. So there was three triple IPAs on draft. One was Simtra, one was Hop Shortage, one was Hopperillo. I personally got to do Hopperillo, which is a beautiful beer.
Oh, man, I haven't had that one yet. That's one of the ones I want to have.
Yeah, so Hopperillo is amazing.
Is that a double or?
It's a triple.
It's a triple.
It's a triple, but ooh. I heard through their Instagrams that they're going to start bottling that, so maybe that will maybe that'll make it up here.
I didn't know that wasn't in bottles.
Mm-mm, it's been draft only so far. Then, of course, Hop Shortage. I revisited that beer, and that was a lot more enjoyable than I ever remember it. I don't know if it
It's been a while since I've had that one.
Yeah, so it was good to see that back. A sour beer I got to have a sampling of while I was at Spoke the other night was Between the Staves. Which most people have heard of, Crooked Stave.
Staves.
So, that was kind of an interesting sour beer to have. And then Mammoth has been, some of that draft has been coming in. And they had an Edelberry Sour.
Oh, okay.
It poured a beautiful purplish color. And it was the right amount of sour. It wasn't like pucker your face up, but it was... You're able to sit through a full, you know, pint or 12-ounce pour of it, I should say.
Huh. See, Mammoth is doing some interesting stuff in the past year, really. You've seen more interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like how we seem to be a Mammoth Market.
Mammoth Market.
For us.
That has a ring to it.
Mammoth Market.
And then last, I can't remember if I've mentioned this one before or not, but Southgate released a new beer.
Okay.
Southgate up in Oakhurst, they released their Honey Badger Wheat. So
wow, how has somebody not done Honey Badger name?
Right, so there it is, and it is a beautiful wheat beer.
I hope they copyrighted it, or however it is. What is it you go through to get your name as a beer? Do you know as a brewery? To have your name, like, you own that name. I guess really if you're just the first one out there that has it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can kind of just call it whatever and just, you know, you have record of it being that name for so long, you can kind of call rights to it. But you can trademark words. I mean, it's still a word to trademark.
Okay.
So.
The Honey Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, it was a good beer, but I mean... That kind
of
stuff.
Do you even like that style, or are you just like, wow, this is really good for the style, or are you just like, wow, it's a good beer?
I don't typically drink wits or wheats or whites.
Yeah.
White IPAs or wheat beers. I don't typically go after those. I don't know if it's a style or what it is. It's not like it makes me feel bad or depressed or makes me feel like I'm so with the Blue Mooners or something. It's just not something I gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
But it... I guess I'm trying to say I'd rather have a bitter than a a special bitter than a wheat.
Wheat.
As far as cloudy.
Wheat.
Wheaton.
Wheaton.
What about you, Mikey? What have you been caught drinking?
Oh, well, one of the beers I got at the Beer 30 was a Ninkasi Brewing Spring Rain. They're pale, seasonal pale.
Is that the empty bottle I'm staring at right now? Yeah, thanks.
That's got the bright, yeah. Sorry, I had to drink something I got from there. I was going to try and save everything, but I was just like, I got to drink something. And this one I feel like we'll probably see at Whole Foods or something.
All right.
So I'm like, well, they'll probably find this one. But the Ninkasi's from Eugene, Oregon. They're seasonal spring rain, they're American Pale. It's got that bright lime green label on it. I wasn't like too thrilled about it. I was a little disappointed in it. It wasn't that it was bad. I was just a little disappointed because I usually love everything Ninkasi does.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember I had this last year at Fairfax Brew Festival. And they were pouring this, whatever their 2013 version, I guess. And I was a lot more impressed of it then than I was coming out of the bottle. It tasted old, didn't taste fresh, but that bottle shop is new, pretty new. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that was sitting around the shelves very long. So, but other than that, I think it was nice, and I'd like to have it again.
Yeah. But
I was just a little disappointed is all. It was still cool. And then, of course, I had the 831 IPA from Santa Andreas, which is just an excellent IPA.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, I don't even know what IPA to like put it against or next to, but it's just almost its own thing, and it's really good. And it's not like overly citrusy. It's not real piney, but it's also not malty. I mean, I guess you would say like that Headlands, but it's different than that Headlands. Just, I don't know. It's just good. I suggest if you're in the Capitola area, you have to go there.
Capitola.
From Figueroa Mountain, I had the Big Cone Black IPA. I didn't even know they had that. And they had that at the barbecue place we went to in Aptos Street Barbecue. And I was like, oh, well, I got to get that.
Mm-hmm. Sold.
And it was pretty solid, pretty damn good, like usually everything Figueroa does. And also at Beer 30, I had a Phantom, a pale lager. They Ballast Point from Ballast Point, Phantom IPL, Indian Pale Lager, not pale,
Did I
have, ale, but a I lager.
That one? Did I have that one?
Is a lager style IPL, which you don't really see too much.
Mm-mm.
And I didn't even really realize it until I was just thinking, oh, it's a pale I haven't had.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I drank it, I was like, wait, and looked it up on Untappd. This is a lager. And it was damn good. And I do not like lagers anymore or whatever. Turn my nose at lagers. Ugh, lager. It was damn good. So as far as a lager style goes, this has to. I've heard that jokes about how Pabst will win like lager awards because there isn't anyone really doing it in the craft beer or whatever. So like Pabst Blue Ribbon will win all the time or something. Yeah. Just kind of like a running joke or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this needs to start winning then because it was really good. I enjoyed that. And then our nitro discussion where I was like, well, I really haven't. I think, I've had maybe Guinness on nitro, but other than that, I really haven't any nitro stuff. Well, I had a local brewer, Discretion Brewing. They're from So Cool, which is one of the towns there in that Aptos Capitola area. And Discretion Brewing, which they do some really good stuff. It's called, and this one's called the Seventh Conversation. Every year it's their Belgian IPA. And every year it's like, the next year it's like, one year was the Fifth Conversation. Next year it's the Sixth Conversation. So now it's the Seventh Conversation. And their Belgian IPA, which I'm okay with Belgian IPAs. I do not prefer them over, a regular IPA. For sure, but I'll definitely interested in trying them. And as far as a Belgium IPA goes, is damn good. I would put it up with Stone's Bellatique or whatever. And so I've the few things I've had from Discretion are really good. I would advise getting that as well, and that's in that same area as the Rustic, the Santa Adrias and stuff. So you can kind of bounce around to that and Beer 30.
Nice.
And then, yeah, that's it. That's my been caught drinking.
Those are some good beers to be have caught drink.
Yeah. And now it's time to open up a new beer.
Yes.
New beer music. A
new beer. So, entering in this corner, we have a Clown Shows.
This one I got at the Beer 30. It's a just the label is just awesome. It looks like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man, but it's like...
Oh, the real Green Goblin. Yeah. Not.
But it's just like, you know, Clown Shoes artwork. Mm. It's always really cool, and it's got... I don't know. It's just some guy who's got long green hair, and he's in like a green spandex, and he has a staff that each end of the staff has like hop cones. So, and it's just Galactica IPA from Clown Shoes. And there you go. I've never had it. Have you had this one?
No, I've had a lot of Clown Shoes. For some reason, I thought they were like a very scarce thing to get into town, but I've been seeing a lot of theirs.
Whole Foods always has two or three, and then BevMo uses. Why not passing it over to Matt?
Come on, dude! I've waited too long.
I just like put it down and just like, oh, I'm done pouring mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I better take my photo. Screw anybody else on this podcast.
I've got to take my Untappd / Instagram photo. Smelling now. Not much aroma.
It's definitely skunky, though. Yeah, there's no real bold hopped. We haven't had any very citrusy things this evening. Unintentional.
This is uncitrusy.
Uncitrus perfect
pour. Not real hoppy or piney or. It's just kind of unoffensive IPA, I guess you could say.
Man.
I don't know.
I guarantee you, like, if you hold it on the front of your tongue and put a little air in your mouth, it's like, dude, like there's weed in the room.
I don't think I get that. Yeah. It's dank, I guess.
Yep. Somebody opened up their center console and was like, oh, Altoids. Oh, no, those aren't Altoids. That's what it's like.
That's interesting. It's not bad. It's just not the kind of IPA I get excited about. But
yeah, see, the bitterness is like more on the front of your tongue, which that seems like it attacks more than it does. Galactica hop staff wielding. Karate kick.
There's karate kick on the bottom. Badassness.
Dry hopped with galaxy hops. A clean malt backbone enhances the dank. And luscious.
Ah, IPA see, they flavors. Mentioned dank.
That, no, I guess the Galaxy Hops are just really good.
I guess so. That's what Galaxy Hops is trademarked, apparently. We're not citrusy.
I'm glad that this is a 12-ounce bottle. I will give you that.
Yeah.
It's good, but I don't know if I like something to attack me that way.
Stop attacking me. All right, it's time to move on to some events. And of course, the big one. We're now at the base of craft beer going to another level in Fresno.
Yeah, there's the Mac and Cheese Festival in Bakersfield on Saturday.
I'm there.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome.
Right.
If they have beer at that Mac and Cheese Festival in Bakersfield, I'm going to still consider it.
Right.
It's still possible.
Just get some bacon and some mac and cheese and yeah. No, that's all you need.
No, we've been talking about it a while. The double huge event for Fresno.
Oh, gosh.
/ Clovis.
Sunday is going to suck for
House
us.
House of Pendragon Brewing. Yes. We've had Tommy on a couple times. Mm-hmm. We had him on way before. The tap room was just like a planning, mm-hmm. hope it happens stage mm-hmm. when we had him on the first time. Mm-hmm. And now it's become a reality. We yeah. just saw today that they passed all their inspections. Mm-hmm. And everything's a go, even though they're still building. They're still constructing it. It's yep. still going to be a go. Here, a couple days away.
Shit has gotten real for that place.
So now it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're going to finally have a new tap room open from a really good brewer that mm-hmm. has really good beer. And that's really exciting for us here in the area. But happening at the same time, downtown Fresno,
mm-hmm.
Tioga Sequoia's Fresyes Fest mm-hmm. anniversary party, like fourth, fifth for Tioga?
Fourth.
Fourth anniversary of having a brewery downtown. And lots of cool stuff is happening, yes. The music mm-hmm. lineup is announced.
Yeah.
So. Strange Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Fresno's best band, mm-hmm. largely considered Fresno's number one band.
Four other bands playing, but yeah Strange Vine will be there.
Strange Vine will be there at six o'clock.
Which you might have just heard them on Dorktown.
Dorktown, yeah. Yes. And but to the craft beer nerds, what kind of special releases are we going to see at 3:30 on Fresyes Fest?
So,
Tioga.
We've been alluding, but there's a lightning bolt coming.
Lightning. What the hell is this beer?
So the big secret is there's a beer coming. It's called Midnight Lightning,
mm-hmm.
which that's I don't know if there's a path in in the forestry area, and it's called Midnight Lightning. I guess that's where you are most likely to see lightning during a thunderstorm.
Huh.
But
I haven't heard that.
We
one.
Said we need something. We need a name that's brutal. We need a beer that can back up this brutal name. And mm-hmm. so we figured out that a high-gravity Russian Imperial Stout matches that.
All right.
Yeah, so.
So this is Tioga's venture into Russian Imperial Stouts.
Mm-hmm.
The Midnight yeah. Lightning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the brewery can't have enough stouts. You know, there's the Breakfast Stout, there's yeah. the Porter, there's the Russian Imperial Stout, there's Chipotle, Porter. I mean, just Porters and Stouts. You can't just have too many of them. Oh, yeah. That's what we're learning. So it is going to be...
This will be the first time the public will be able to have this Midnight Lightning.
Yes.
And is this something that's going to be bottled eventually? Or is this like we're testing it out to see if people like it?
It's been bottled. It's been kegged. It's okay. been under wraps. Behind
it has a label.
It's done.
It's ready to go out to stores?
No, it's been... Like I said, behind locked doors and with keys. It's been
there are keys to it, but they're locked.
Yeah, no, I mean security code. You have to get background checks. It's been it's very secret hand, operation.
You use your handprint.
Yeah, retina scanning.
Yep.
And
then only then are you allowed into the Midnight Lightning aging room.
Yeah, but this Saturday we'll release a few of those security parameters. But
nice.
Yeah.
So if you like Russian Imperial Stouts, this is Tioga. Mm-hmm. Has there been a local that has a Russian Imperial Stout?
Full Circle.
Does Full Circle have one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's like the 1865 London Imperial.
So, all right.
Or something like that.
Yeah, so they got one.
Yeah.
But this is interesting.
I can't think of anybody else that's had a high gravity...
Mm-hmm.
Within, you know, almost 100. Well,
within 100 miles.
Within 100 miles. I think
Dust Bowl.
I think even Dust Bowl, I don't think their Black Blizzard was. I think that was more of a strong ale. Yeah, I don't. That's it.
All right, that's it.
Show up to ours, you know?
Yeah.
Screw everybody.
But that's Midnight Light is not the only limited, like, special release happening.
So. The specials will be there. I know the big focus is on Midnight Lightning. Your first day that you could get growlers or bottles
you can
or
get growlers
t-shirts
of the Midnight Lightning.
Or whatever, you know, have you. But, yeah, there is.
You can get bottles, too, of the Midnight Lightning?
Yes.
All right. And Rush Hour, are you going to have Rush Hour available?
Yeah.
And bottles?
So there's going to be from the drawings I've seen, there's going to be the refrigerated trailer is going to have taps on it, and those are going to be your mainstream beers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be 12 on that. Then there's going to be a special release area, and that's going to have three beers on tap. So one of them should be Rush Hour, one of them should be the Midnight Lightning, and then there'll be a third. Whether that's the Imperial IPA or if something else makes its way out there, mm-hmm. you know, slips through the cracks,
ooh.
It could happen.
I saw that there's going to be the Catacomb is coming back for this. I saw on the beer list.
Oh,
it's on the it's public now. You can talk about it.
Well, no, it won't necessarily be a new Catacomb,
right?
But it'll be aged, was what it is.
Okay.
And we have found that that beer has aged very well.
I have one in my fridge aging.
Yeah. So that's kind of a beer that I feel that it should be brewed almost a year in advance and just kind of sit on it and forget about it. And it turns out to be a very, very beautiful beer.
Wow. All right. And then there's what else unique is happening?
You seem to know more than
apparently.
Mm-hmm. Saturday will probably be a good day for Uber.
Uber is going to be going back and forth from Clovis to downtown, yep. I got a feeling.
Yep. And then too bad Lyft wasn't already in town, because they would probably be rolling out some free rides this evening.
There's another special release. Tell me about this one. Well, of course, Tecumseh,
mm-hmm.
Which is your triple IPA,
mm-hmm.
and Citrus IPA. I've had that one. Now I love that Citrus IPA.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that one bottled.
Mm-hmm.
This one I've not even heard of before. I've been hearing about Midnight Lightning, but not Smoke Chaser. What's smoke? I'm going to guess that's a smoked porter.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
What the hell is it?
Nope. So that's another beer that we've been working on that we've already bottled, but we haven't done any artwork for it, so it's wow. another one that's been lock and key, and nobody would ever know what it is.
What?
But
Smoke Chaser. There's nothing smoked about it? There's got to be something smoked about it.
Of course there's something smoked about it.
But it's not a porter.
No.
Wow.
No. Mm. It's a style you're not very fond of. But there is some smoked malt into it, so yes, it is a smoked beer.
All right.
But it is a smoked barley wine.
Oh. That's Tioga's first barley wine.
First barley wine, and we went with a 20% smoke to it.
Wow.
And it is a beautiful complement to what is normally a very malty, sweet beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a perfect balance, but... So...
Wow.
You'll get to taste it after it's aged a little bit now, and then... you'll be able to stare at some barrels of it.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
also a unique beer thing happening at the Fresias Fest.
Mm-hmm.
A firkin tapping at 1:30 with Rush Hour with Coconut. Have you had that Rush Hour with Coconut yet?
No. I think there's been some coconut going through the brewery lately. So I don't know.
Everyone's been doing coconut lately in the brewery.
So there's been a couple of renditions.
Effed up.
Because, I mean, obviously, in order to introduce anything that is of a matter, you usually dry it out. So there's been a lot of dried coconut. So I've yet to try a beer. I know it's been rumored around, but that one was kind of like snuck under the radar. We haven't done firkins in a little while.
So Fresias Fest, downtown Fresno, Tioga-Skoye. We'll have a report from it next episode.
Oh, it'll probably just be us drunkenly mammering into the microphone.
Yeah, due to your work schedule, you're not going to be able to make well, I guess you could still, you can after, because depending on House of Pendragon's hours that day, you could still get there after the Fresias Fest.
Pendragon will be noon to 10 p.m.
Noon to 10, they've said that. That's mm-hmm. the time.
That is the time. I don't know if they'll have enough beer to make it.
Yeah, right. Will they have enough beer to make it to 10?
Yeah.
The Fresias Fest will be ending about
7-ish.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a ride, Uber, if you are the one that can catch the Uber,
mm-hmm.
leaving the Fresias Fest, head up to House of Pendragon.
Yep.
Catch and see if there's any beer left.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a magical day.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday. I wonder if Chief Jerry Dyer knows about this day. There's going to be like 20 DUI checkpoints in Fresno.
Yeah, I passed through one of those smog checkpoints today.
Smog checkpoints?
Yes.
There's such a thing.
Yes.
So no way.
They'll have a dyno machine out on the street and they'll pull selected cars over and do an emissions test on the side of the road there. And
oh my God.
Yeah. So there's the,
I mean, I'm all about clean air, but Jesus.
Yeah. No, that's, there's interesting things going on throughout the day.
All kinds of things crazy in Fresno. Mm-hmm. But that's just going to be cool. And hopefully we'll have some live reports and run into some Perfect Poor listeners out there and maybe get some brief interviews.
Tens of listeners.
Yep. It's time for some cheers.
Ding, ding, ding.
Got any cheers? I'm going to cheers the Beer Street Journal. Once in a while, I'll get some news from them. Beer Street Journal.
That's awesome.
Once in a while, I'll get some news or something from those guys. So, cheers to the Beer Street Journal. You got any cheers, Bitter Brooder? Bitter Brooder?
Bitter Brooder? Yeah, I do have a few. A good friend of mine, she goes by Sarah Kathleen on the Instagrams and the Twitters. She recently went up to Russian River, and she's just like, hey, I'm going up to Russian River. Do you want anything? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So she brought me back.
I want things there.
She brought me back a Supplication, which is a sour. And then she also brought me back another Devastation, which I've had that one a few times, but I am more than willing to have it again. So that was wonderful. She gets a good amount of cheers for that. And then another Instagram is Beardolator.
Beardolator.
I know there's probably some movie character that's tied with, but they've been liking a lot of my stuff. And then if we go to Twitter, there's been some good ones. I Love Good Beer. Which, I mean, you can't go wrong. That's your Twitter handle. You must, you know.
You found that one. That's good.
Yeah. Then there's Drinking Craft. That's Kevin. He's been liking a lot of my stuff.
Yeah, I Love Good Beer. Just, yeah, they just favorited something. So,
see?
Yeah.
There it is. Then this will be my...
I can't follow... our Perfect Poor Twitter account is all full up. I can't follow new people. So
what? Yeah. You eventually run out of...
You can only follow up to 2,000 people if you don't have more than 2,000 followers.
Oh,
so you just gotta, like, you, if didn't, in order to follow a new person, you gotta drop somebody. So
come on, people, let's get to liking the Perfect Poor. Let's just do a public service
at Perfect Poor Pod.
Yes,
I'm sorry. Go.
Oh, okay.
Interrupted you.
Here, an interesting Instagram, or I mean, an interesting Twitter I've come across. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, since you're on this page, you might like, and I went to it. It is the Denver Clock Tower.
Huh?
Yes. You'll have to look that one up, but the Denver Clock Tower posts every hour with the word dong. So 2 o'clock, it's 2 dongs. At 10 p.m., it's 10 dongs, and it posts every hour on the hour. It's
funny because they say dong.
Yes. And they followed me back, but I was just like, that's awesome. Dong. I know what time it is in Denver.
Yep. Like, oh, it's the top of the hour in Denver.
Yep.
Dong.
And then there's I almost wanted to say the Drunk Nation, but the Drink Nation has been one to like a few of my things, thanks to the Growler Radio interview.
Oh.
Which, you know, the latest.
Look at all cashing in on that Growler Radio.
I know, there's been tens of people.
Look at that.
Yeah. So, that was nice. I mean,
you know. Yeah, cheers to Carlitz. On Twitter, Beer and Loathing, Hop List, all kinds of people. Kins Bay Brews, we're talking like maybe she might make it to Fresno for this craft beer day in Fresno. Mm-hmm. But I saw that she's going to LA for some craft beer thing in LA. So.
Well, she could, you know, just do us a solid and just get off the highway for a few minutes.
What the hell, bro?
I'll have to send her an angry,
angry,
anger-filled message. Arr! Hey, you at least owe us one round.
Hey,
come on,
come on. So yeah, Perfect Pour Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. PerfectPourPodcast.com goes to our Podbean page. If you want to leave us a nice little review on the iTunes, that would be awesome. Remember, you can call our voicemail line, 559-492-0542. We like hearing about what the hell you're doing craft beer-wise. We're part of the Dorktown Network of many podcasts, as such as three Dorktown podcasts. Yes. And Flowing of Famous. If you like Fresno, then you're going to like Flowing of Famous.
Oh, yeah.
And if you like tomfoolery, then you'll like Dorktown.
Hey, tomfoolery. It's my favorite thing.
So, and we got through our first episode without Nick. That was rough.
We miss you, Nick. Please come back to our back.
This has been episode 40.